Well, good morning. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18, verses 27 and 28. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who had owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." This scripture is set in the larger context of Jesus' parable of the unforgiving servant. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." It's one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible because it limits the number of times I have to forgive somebody to 490. So my wife has far exceeded that, so I no longer need to forgive her trespasses. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. And then his master, after he called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." The servant refused to pay forward the forgiveness that was extended to him. Notwithstanding the fact that he had experienced a great blessing, he had neither gratitude nor compassion in his heart. He ought to have been thankful, and his thankfulness ought to have been made manifest by compassion. He ought to have been thankful. The servant could not have gotten out from under that debt in a lifetime. And in antiquity, personal bankruptcy was very often a lifetime ticket to slavery. As it is written, the borrower is slave to the lender. There were no courts to appeal to for remediation of any debt. The debtor was fully at the mercy of the creditor, the one that he owed. And great was the mercy of the master in our parable. Have you been given a break in life? Perhaps you were young, foolish, and fancy-free, and you got into trouble of some kind. And were you locked away forever? Maybe this describes you now. Repent while there is still time. How many sinners, even criminals, get the bail posted or the sentence commuted and go as it is written of them? As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Why not come to yourself, admitting that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning? Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Selah. And the psalmist David puts that there for a reason. Because we're to pause and to meditate upon this truth. Not one day a year, but each and every day. The Bible tells us that every man, woman, and child has racked up an unpayable spiritual debt. For all are conceived in sin. And James tells us that if we are guilty of one sin, we are guilty of all. Moreover, the Bible teaches that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages for that sin is death, but that the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord, who himself demonstrated his love for us by sending his Son to pay the debt that for us is unpayable. You had no heaven to go to. You had no peace in your life. You had nothing but slavery to debt and the power of sin to look forward to tomorrow and forever. You're hopeless. And Jesus gave you a way out of that, forgiving your debt. Are you not grateful? Why the long face? Why the struggle against God still? When, if you are a believer, your lot in life has fallen to you in pleasant places. Do you smile when you say happy Thanksgiving to somebody? Friends, thankfulness is made manifest not only by your countenance, but by your compassion. The wicked servant in our parable had no gratitude. And because he was an ingrate, he had no grace, no mercy, no compassion in his dealings with others. So if then you are truly a thankful individual, then you ought to be the opposite of that wicked individual. For God has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. As you have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. If there is no fruit in your life of thankfulness, are you really a child of God? If you have only a little or just some fruit of thanksgiving, how are you better than the worldly individual who by accident is thankful once in a while? Are you really a disciple of Jesus Christ? Shifting gears to another application. When we realize we have sinned, and though we have confessed it, that sin being fresh in the mind makes us much more tender towards others. Even those we may not be predisposed to like in a natural way. For when we see ourselves to be the chief of sinners, we see how God has forgiven us so much the more, and we are all the more ready to forgive others and overlook their transgressions. Though in our estimation, they may be great, even if we have discerned or determined that they have sinned against us personally. Furthermore, when we have come to understand the gravity of sin and are walking right next to the Lord daily, then and only then can we put our faith into action to help a fellow sinner in need. If we're not walking with the Lord, and we're still fighting with God, kicking against the goads, against the truth of the scriptures, holding on to this sin or that, we'll quite likely fall into even more sin if we seek to help out somebody else who's caught up in something. But Paul says this, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." And Jude writes, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." Friends, it is easy to say that we are thankful for Jesus, that we are thankful for salvation, that we are thankful for divine grace and mercy, for being forgiven 70 times 7, for family, for blessings of food and shelter and so forth. But it is a harder thing to act on it. This is where the rubber meets the road. How will you show your gratefulness? How do you show your gratefulness? You go around the table this past Friday night, share a blessing. Thursday, perhaps you'll gather around with your loved ones and you'll share some blessings. And I suppose in such settings, all men are obligated to say something, lest you look foolish. All men will say that they are grateful. But how many truly show any evidence thereof? Kind of after the same lines of many, many people will say that they're believers in Jesus Christ, that they believe that he paid the penalty for their sin, that they believe that he rose from the dead, that they put their faith in this, but yet our Lord says that when he comes back, will he really find faith on the earth? How many hypocrites there are in our number concerning salvation, and how much the more concerning those who claim to be children of thanksgiving, who are twice the children of hell as the worldly one who does not make such a profession. James gives us this advice, even a command. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." In other words, if you hear the word of God, there's a couple of dozen or so scriptures today which have been brought to bear, and you walk away and you don't do anything with it, or you make excuses why you don't have to deal with this, or you don't have to apply it to that particular person that you know you ought, you're the fool, not the preacher. You've succeeded in deceiving yourself and to your own hurt. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. May your cup of blessing run over this Thanksgiving season, and always. You know, in the Roman Catholic Mass, I'm going to make an application here. There's not a lot commendable about it. But when something is commendable, we call it like it is. We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And so in their Mass, there is a responsive part of the liturgy in which the congregation says, it is right to give him thanks and praise. This is a true saying. Let us learn and live all the things that have been set before us this morning. And may this Thanksgiving be characterized as a day of gratitude like no other. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for every great blessing, every good and perfect gift which comes down from on high. We thank you above all for your Son, Jesus Christ, the gift that he is, by whom we may receive and enjoy eternal life. We thank you for how you have gone beyond even this. You've not only given us a future hope, but a present purpose to minister your word to others as the Spirit has given each one of us a gift, at least one. Lord, we are thankful for our spouses, our children, our parents, our family, our friends in this fellowship. Lord, we recognize that all of these things, aside from you yourself, Lord, your Son and your Spirit, are indeed tainted by sin, none being perfect. But Lord, let us look in the mirror, recognizing that we ourselves are not perfect, and be grateful even for these imperfect gifts that you provided for us. Lord, may we learn from the example of the ungrateful servant in the parable, who is forgiven so much, and went his way and did the opposite of that spirit of which he was shown. Lord, may we show our thankfulness for the great forgiveness that you bestowed upon us and extended to others, especially in our family, in the household of faith, but even beyond that, to all men, as your providence allows. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now offer one another the sign of peace.